We've been working on this series of messages called People of the Spirit. And today we are looking at gifts of revelation. I believe in the last series or sermon on this series, we looked at gifts of power. And in weeks to come, Lord willing, we'll be taking some time to work through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Focusing more on chapter 14 as we look into gifts of speaking a little later. Our desire, and we are called people of the Spirit in God's Word. That is what distinguishes us from before we became Christians. Once we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive. And he puts his Spirit within us. And his Spirit is there to help us, to work in us, to work through us. Because the battle that we fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual battle against the forces of darkness. We cannot win that battle in our own strength. We must have the strength that comes from the Lord. So this series is just to help us remember these things. Be reminded some of the ways that God will work through us. Now, the nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 is not a complete list. They're ones Paul focuses on there. We can go to other passages and find other gifts of the Spirit. But these gifts are means by which God manifests his grace and his power through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, this power must be balanced by love. I love the illustration, I don't know how old it is, but a minister who said, if we think of the Holy Spirit as that dove, biblical symbol for the Holy Spirit, it's like one wing is the gifts, the other wing is the fruit. A dove can't fly if it doesn't have both wings. And as much as we desire God to move among us, may it always be motivated by love. It's not about how spiritual we are or want people to think about us as being super spiritual. It's simply about Christ's love compels us so that we ask God to work through us through these gifts. Again, just quick review. The nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. I think I've got them there. Usually broken into three groups or categories. The three gifts of speaking are prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. The Spirit moved through the gift of prophecy this morning earlier in our service. Three gifts of revelation, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, which is what our focus will be on today. And then what we talked about previously, the three gifts of power, gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, and the gift of faith. Again, just a reminder that sometimes we notice in America we like to have a label and classify everything down to the smallest degree. There are so many times scripturally, and I think just in real life, you can't necessarily look at something and say, oh, well, that was a gift of healings or that was a miracle. So many times these gifts kind of weave together, flow together, to manifest God's power and grace, so that there's that overlapping there. Again, the goal here is not necessarily, oh, I want just the gift of faith. Well, Scripture tells us to desire the best gift, and that gift is the gift that the Holy Spirit, who decides which gifts to give, is needed in that moment. So we're going to rejoice that God desires to work through us, and we're going to seek him for the best gifts. Just a way of reminder, always good to go back to Scripture. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And notice the first line of this paragraph and the last line of this paragraph really focus in on the purpose of the gifts. To help each other, so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another person is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So as we begin, again, the focus is the gifts are given to help each other, and we are not in control of the gifts. It's the Spirit who decides what is needed and what is good at that time. But today I want us to dive a little bit deeper into the gifts of revelation, the first of which is a word of wisdom. New Living Translation describes it as the ability to give wise advice. Dr. Stanley Horton, for years, was one of the leading Pentecostal theologians of the world, not just of the Assemblies of God. He described this gift this way: as the word of wisdom is given to meet the need of some particular occasion or problem. So it's not just that he makes somebody really, really smart. It's given for a specific reason to address a specific situation. It's that revelation of divine counsel. It provides practical application of God's word to the need or issue at hand. Again, it's not a leveling up of one's human wisdom. It doesn't make us so smart we never make a mistake. You know, that old joke, I thought I made a mistake once, but I was mistaken. It's not that sort of thing. Specific guidance that God gives, that he makes available through his Spirit to help his people. A wonderful example of this is found in Acts chapter 6. Well, let me read the passage first. Acts 6, beginning at verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit; Philip, who becomes Philip the evangelist; Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. Church needed wisdom. They had a problem. Earlier, in Acts 5, 4 and 5, the church faced a problem from outside, persecution. And if you remember Acts 4, as they're released, they come together and have a prayer meeting. God give us power and boldness to speak the word in face of opposition. And they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. And it says they spake the word of God with boldness. And we read about such powerful miracles that even Peter's shadow falling over sick people, they were being healed. Amazing displays of God's healing and power to proclaim the name of Jesus, that he is Savior and that he is Lord. But now there's a problem that comes from inside the church. You have to think, the church has been growing. I mean, think what it would be if all of a sudden the entire town of Haywarden got saved and became a part of our church. And, well, better yet, not Haywarden, because they live here. If all of a sudden, for some reason, somebody watching the video called all their friends and said, "Hey, this church is preaching about Jesus, you need to listen to it," and 3,000 people from Sioux Center got saved. or Sioux City, and all of a sudden they decide to show up here and camp out for a while. We're going to have a problem, people. How are we going to feed them? Well, that's kind of what happened in the early church. On the day of Pentecost, so many Jewish people from around the world, many of whom were Greek-speaking from outside of Jerusalem and Judea, came to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter preached, and 3,000 people got saved. And these were folks who weren't planning on sticking around for a long time. They were going to be there for maybe a week, maybe two, and then they were going to go home. So they figured, this is why you read in Acts about, they shared the story in Acts 4 at the end of it, where Barnabas has property. He sells it, donates the money to help care for the needs of the church. Everything sounds good, right? Now we get to Acts 6. Well, evidently the home folk, the Hebrew-speaking Jews, had more or less, well, we're home, we'll take care of this. But the Greek-speaking believers were saying, hey, guys, we're getting left out here. Our widows are not getting taken care of. Imagine what could have happened if they did not have this wisdom, this gift of wisdom from God on how to deal with the situation. You know, well, go find your own food then. You know, you take care of yours, we'll take care of ours. You know, the old story, I want red carpet, I want blue carpet. Right? I mean, it sounds silly, but we're still people. So here's the situation that pressure from outside, the devil couldn't use persecution from outside to destroy the church. So all of a sudden, there's this dissension, there's this problem within the church. So how do they deal with it? Well, God gave them the wisdom of the Spirit, said, here's what needs to be done. And it wasn't that the apostles were too good to help serve, but they recognized that's not what God had called them to do. Their main responsibility was to pray and to teach and to disciple. So they said, let's find men full of wisdom in the Holy Spirit who can address this need. And again, part of the wisdom of the Spirit here, you look at those names, it's not as obvious in our English Bible, but these men all have Greek-sounding names. So the problem was the Greek people, Greek widows were being neglected, so they put Greek-speaking people over the distribution of the food to make sure that the problem was addressed correctly. So, wisdom there. Just a little side note here. If you see a need, before you start complaining about it, say, God, is the reason I'm aware of this need is you want me to be part of the solution. It's easy to gripe and complain. Americans, we have a master's degree in that. So if you see a need, say, God, how can you use me to help fill that need? Just that side note there. And here's the wisdom, and here's what results when we have God's wisdom, this gift of wisdom from God, from the Spirit, because we read the next verse, and it says this in verse 7 of Acts 6. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. They had the problem, they heard from God with wisdom for the answer, and when that answer came and they followed it, the message continued to spread and more people came to know the Lord. Now, this gift of wisdom from the Spirit may also be what Jesus had in mind when he referred to when he told his followers not to prepare beforehand what they should say when called to account for their actions before the courts or those who opposed them. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, we read this. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time, for it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. See, I think sometimes we don't fully grasp how wonderful a thing it is that God is at work in our lives, that the Holy Spirit is there. He is called the Paraclete, the Helper, the one who stands alongside to help. Do we understand the Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to lead us? We can desire the best gift from Him in whatever situation we face. And sometimes we don't know what to do. But like the saints of old, Lord, when we don't know what to do, we're just going to look to You. We're going to wait upon You. You know, this thing, though, that the Spirit of God is there to help. You know, sometimes it seems like a scary thing. You know, God's always there. I still remember when our children were little, I used to watch them during the day when she worked to pay for my preaching habit. Often worked from the home office and watched the kids. And one day they got real quiet. Now, most of you know, if you're a parent, what does it mean when your kids get really quiet? Well, now, this was before cell phones and tablets and all that. Usually that meant they were doing something they knew they shouldn't be, and they didn't want to draw attention to themselves. So I went in, and sure enough, they had gotten into something they weren't supposed to get into. And our oldest one looked at me and said, "How did you know we were doing something we weren't supposed to?" And I said, "God talks to me." Which is true. I mean, it was kind of funny, but it's but there's some truth to that. Hallelujah, the Spirit of God is there to help us. And in a given situation, God can give us a wisdom that is far beyond our own. The second gift is the word of knowledge. A message of special knowledge. This word of knowledge is the supernatural revelation from God that gives you details or information about a certain situation or person that is not known to you prior to the revelation. It clearly has to do with the knowledge of God, of Christ, of the gospel, and the application of the gospel to Christian living. Had a pastor that was sharing one time at a minister's meeting that it was a word of knowledge from the Lord that one of his elders, one of his board members, was having an affair, and I mean, his life was just a mess. And the pastor friend's first reaction was, "Well, I need to call him in and confront him," and with this knowledge that God's given me, he shouldn't, you know. But he listened to the voice of the Spirit and he said, "No, I just wanted you to know to be prepared because his life is about to come tumbling down. And I need you there to help pick up the pieces, not to condemn." He said, "It's the hardest thing," probably one of the hardest things in ministry, to stand up there and preach and look out and see him there or sit in a meeting and know this is going on in his life and have to wait for God to deal with his heart. Thankfully, the story ended well. He repented. Him and his wife were restored. The family was restored. Even though he had to give up his position of leadership, he didn't lose out with God, stayed in the church, because God gave this gift of this word of knowledge to this pastor so he would know how to deal with that situation as it arose. And see, this is where often the gifts of wisdom and knowledge work hand in hand. Now, a primary example of this is found in Acts 15, during the Jerusalem Council that decided the question of salvation for the Gentiles. It was a huge controversy. Paul and Barnabas and others had been out preaching that to the Gentiles that they could come to faith in Jesus Christ and have right relationship with God simply through faith. Many of the Jews were saying, no, they have to become Jewish first. They have to convert to Judaism before they can be saved. And so the church gathered at this council in Jerusalem. And they hear kind of both sides of the story. One side presents their side, which really isn't presented much in Scripture, recorded in Scripture. But Peter shares of his experience with Cornelius, the Roman centurion, how God poured out the Holy Spirit on him and his and those of his household as they heard the message of Jesus and put their faith in Jesus before they became, you know, without them becoming Jewish. And Paul shared about, and Barnabas shared about how the Gentiles were coming to faith. But this could have, we might not be sitting here today if the church had not received wisdom and knowledge from the Holy Spirit on how to address this issue. Christianity could have ended up as a very small segment, sect within Judaism if they had required Gentiles to become Jewish. Here's their conclusion, Acts 15, verses 28 and 29. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you will do well. Farewell. See, the Spirit gave them special knowledge, special insight into God's will in this matter. In addition was the wisdom on how to apply it to the situation in which Jews and Gentiles would meet together for fellowship and for worship. And they didn't have to become Jewish to be saved, but they were asked to be considerate of their Jewish brothers and sisters by following a few basic requirements or a few basic lifestyle choices. Well, and of course, immorality is an obvious one. But most of these had to do with the worshiping of idols or pure living, living morally before God's sight. And this became the basis of fellowship where Jew and Gentile could come together in one body to worship the Lord and to serve Him. They needed that wisdom to know how to proceed. It promoted unity within the church. So the Gentiles were to respect Jewish dietary restrictions. They were to live morally pure lives. And again, not eat foods that were associated with idol worship. This way there would be no stumbling block there. Now, it isn't surprising that the Spirit gives knowledge. He is called the Spirit of Truth. And think back to what Jesus said that the Spirit of Truth would do in John 16, beginning at verse 13. When the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, He will not speak on His own will, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. The Spirit is there to guide us, to lead us, to give us wisdom, to give us knowledge of how we can live to please God. The Bible is our guide, right? But can you find me chapter and verse that says, thou shalt not smoke tobacco, or thou shalt not do drugs? Well, I think there may be something in there you can find that goes back to idol worship. But, you know, so many times in life, you can't go to a specific verse where it says, thou shall or thou shall not. That's the work of the Spirit in our lives, to guide us and direct us. How many times have you maybe started down a path and had that check in your heart by the Holy Spirit? That's not the way to go. That won't be pleasing to God. That's the work of the Spirit. Now, there are times that God works in special ways through us to open the door of people's hearts to receive the gospel. One minister shared about a time where God gave her this gift of a word of knowledge. Here's her story. She said, "I was invited to minister at a juvenile hall. I sat down next to this teenage boy. We listened to someone speak about the Lord, and then we connected with the kids. I started to talk to this teenage boy, and as clear as day, I saw a picture of him dreaming about his mom. I felt it so strong, and I felt like the Lord wanted to let him know that his mom will be okay. So I asked him, 'Have you been dreaming about your mom? I feel like the Lord is showing me that, and that he wants you to know it's going to be okay.' She goes, 'I will never forget the boy's face. Total shock and awe. How did you know that? How?' And that opened the door for her to tell this boy, this teenager, that Jesus knows him and loves him so much. He got so excited that it was like he was going to jump off the walls or bounce off the walls, but his life was impacted by that word of knowledge. Sometimes that ability that God gives, and it's not like for us old people, Johnny Carson with his, I don't remember, Karnak nose sort of thing. It's not a fortune-telling sort of thing. But keep in mind, God wants to minister his grace and power in people's lives. And sometimes he does that by getting their attention. How could you know that? Well, God spoke to my heart because he sees. And he wants you to know that he cares. And he will be a part of your life if you'll let him. That's such a powerful, powerful gift that the Spirit gives us. Well, the final gift is the discerning of spirits. And again, the NLT translates it as the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. This gift involves a supernaturally given perception that allows a follower of Jesus to tell the difference if something, most likely a prophetic message, comes from the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, or an evil spirit. Again, it's good for us to keep in mind that the gifts of the Spirit often work together for the good of the body. And in 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul instructed the church to evaluate prophetic messages. And the word used here for evaluate or judge is related to the word for discerning. Perhaps the Apostle John has the same gift in mind when he gives these instructions in 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them, discern, to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if we have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here." Our enemy, the devil, is a liar. He's a deceiver. Bible says that he even disguises himself as an angel of light. And if he can't keep us from believing in Jesus, he will keep us from living for Jesus. If someone comes and says, "Oh, well, you've been saved. God's grace covers your life. You can do whatever you want." Well, go back and read the Gospel of Jude for me real quick. Jude, right? No, yeah. Jude. False teachers came in and said grace was an excuse for, I think the New King James Version is licentiousness. Immoral living. God's grace has you covered. You can live however you want. You can do whatever you please. What you do in your body doesn't make any difference. That's a lie from the pit. We need that gift of discernment. So if somebody comes in and, you know, look at the world around you. How many of you got at least one spam phone call this week? You know, oh, if you just respond, you know, we'll do this. They appeal to our desires and our wants. And if we let them, they'll turn that and manipulate us and take us. Well, the devil does the same thing. If somebody says they're speaking for God and they're telling you that, oh, you don't really have to believe in Jesus, he's just one of many ways God has presented truth to the world. No. Discern, turn away. Grace is not a license to ungodly behavior. Provision can be twisted to covetousness. God's going to supply all your needs. And he graciously often gives us what we want because he loves us. But he's not a big candy machine in the sky that you can plug your spiritual quarter in and pull the knob and get, you know, what you covet from God. Authority can become abusive. God's given me authority as a pastor, but God forbid that I use it to beat people up or that I manipulate people for what I want. Now, a biblical example of the need for the discerning of spirits is found in Acts 8. It's the story of Simon the sorcerer. We're going to pick it up at verse 18. It says, when Simon saw the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if you could go around, you got the Spirit, you've got the Spirit, hallelujah. No. But we find out his heart's not right. There's a discerning of spirits here. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see, I can discern that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. The request seemed a good thing. Desiring people to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. But Simon wanted the ability for the wrong reasons. He saw it as a way to gain fame and fortune. Simon allowed his old human nature to override his newfound faith in Jesus, slipping back into his old ways in which he enjoyed the acclaim and rewards that came from the use of his sorcery. That was there. Perhaps a more modern example comes from an account my youth pastor shared with me. He was a part of some special services at a church, and during one of the altar times, a woman came up to a guy and a gal that were sitting next to each other, I don't know, in one of the front pews, put their hands together and said, thus says the Lord, you are to get married and move to Africa to be missionaries. Wow, exciting stuff, right? The problem was it wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking of that. It was her human spirit because the gal was already married. Unfortunately, they did not use discernment or evaluate, which is a safety net, by the way, not only for the church, but for those who desire to be used. It takes a while to learn to yield to the Spirit and how the Spirit will work through you. Sadly, in this case, they did not have that. So the gal divorced her husband. The other two got married and tried to go to... it was a disaster. It was a disaster for that family, for that church. Because that gift of discernment wasn't there. Now, this gift of discernment is not a permanent gift that turns someone into a spiritual Geiger counter. Though I do think with maturity at times, it gets a little easier for us to discern. But there are times, even Joshua and the leaders of Israel, were deceived because they didn't inquire of the Lord. But this gift is here to protect us and to guide us so that we can follow the Lord. So, I bring this to a conclusion. And yes, it actually means I'm going to end. Spiritual gifts are given to minister God's grace and power to people. And we should be praying that God would work through us, giving us the best gifts, the ones that are needed in any particular situation, so we can help others and so bring glory to God. The closer we get to God, the more likely we are to be ready, to be used, and to be aware of those times He wants to work through us. The closer we get to God, the more the fruit of the Spirit will be manifest in our lives and will be what motivates us in the use of these gifts. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, we thank You for Your ministry to the body of Christ, that You live in us, that Your fruit is developed in us so that we become more like Jesus, and that Your gifts are made available to us that we might help one another and minister Your grace and power to this world. Lord, help us again to desire these gifts to be used of You, not to make a name for ourselves. And perhaps it's wrong, Lord. Actually, I guess my desire is this would not be the only church in this area, but that in every place, in every church where people call upon the name of the Lord and believe in the power of God, believe in the truth of the Word of God. But Lord, particularly for this place, that the word in the community gets out, you need prayer, that's the place to go. God's working through these people. God's working in this place. Not for our fame, but that God, through the manifestation of Your power and the proclamation of Your message, that Your kingdom would grow. Especially as we recognize that these days are short. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move among us, Lord, I pray. Praise You, Jesus. Just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Lord, we love You. And as we continue our day with this time of fellowship, and then just desiring to hear Your voice, Your direction, as we go forward, Lord, we want to make an impact for the kingdom of God in this community, in this region, and around the world, Lord. So help us to hear Your voice and know Your direction. And then send us from this place full of Your Spirit and Your power and of faith, that we might be the light and salt that You've called us to be to our neck of the woods, Lord. Thank You for this, Lord. Bless us as we go, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.